Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
Let me just ask you a question. Have you ever found yourself avoiding a conversation that you know you needed to have? Anybody but me do that? Have you ever felt that you wanted to step out more, that you wanted to connect more with people or assert yourself, but you lacked the confidence because of the voices in your head? Anyone relate to that? Let me ask you this one. Have you ever wished that the people that are close to you would just be more open and honest with you? Like, have you ever wondered, like, what could I do better as a wife or as a husband? And have you ever wished, boy, I just wish, I don't know why, maybe that people are afraid to talk to me, or maybe you know the answer to that. Maybe you haven't handled real talk in your life very well, but in your deepest longing of your soul, I just wonder if you would say, I really do hunger for more real talk. The people that I love, I really want them to be comfortable talking straight to me and real to me and getting real. Like, I wish we could have a beneficial conversation that I could understand more what it is that I do that causes people to to feel uncomfortable around me, or causes people to feel like they can't talk openly with me. People that I love, people that I want to move forward in life with, I don't know why or what I'm doing. And maybe you're here today and you've thought that way, and you've looked at your history and you're going, I could see why maybe they, you know, with the way I handled the last conversation, that maybe they would be hesitant to talk more openly with me. But I don't want that to stop us. I just wonder, anybody here hungry for that kind of authentic interaction? See, I think we all are, but I think that what's happening to us today collectively is that even though we're hungry for more real, more authenticity, I think that we have a gap in knowing, like, how to keep it real, and how to make it real. And I think one of the challenges that we have in the world that we live in today is that we're so socially engaged in first level relationships, and none of that is evil, by the way. I'm not going to be critical of that today, because I think that social interaction at first level and being good at that is actually a plus for you in your life. But I think the challenge is that we don't know how to get beyond that. And we don't know what to do when it's time for the relationship to deepen and for the relationship to get stronger. So I'm in John chapter 4, and I've already said a whole lot more than I planned to say at the outset. But this is in my heart, and I believe that it's going to help some people today. John 4, let me tell you what's happening. Jesus is traveling, and he had to go through a town in Samaria. And he's tired, and Jesus got tired. We talked about that over Easter, how he felt everything we feel. And so just know that when you get tired, he knows what tired feels like. And in the heat of the day, he sat down by the town well to rest. So we're at verse 7. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Now his disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink?" And then the scripture says Jews do not associate with Samaritans. So I want to pause right there before I go on with the story, and I want you to notice that a lot of people think that racial tension just started in recent years. And racial tension has been around forever. And And so I think a lot of times, especially if you're young, if you're a millennial, you're like, oh my God, we got to do something about this racial tension. And a lot of that passion is certainly needed for us today. But I also want you to understand that it's not a new problem. Like, it's been around for a long time. Now, what Jesus did is he decided not to participate in it. He just made a decision, like he just was keeping it real. And he wasn't allowing himself to be sucked in to this goofy, weird dynamic called racism that was judgmental and critical of other people based on the color of their skin or what country they come from or they're born in. And so Jesus was, he was like building a bridge instead of building a wall. Now, I want to say that tension is in many areas of our life. And tension is one of the things that keeps us from keeping it real. So this is a racial tension, but one of the challenges that we have, for example, is, have you ever got in an elevator and no one is talking? And there's five very real people in the elevator, human beings who breathe just like you do, who eat just like you do, and you got to go 20 floors or whatever together, but it happens so fast, something is in the elevator with you called tension. And no one is breaking the tension. Everyone is paralyzed. Really, it's like a paralysis, an unspoken sort of environment. And the longer it goes, the more real it gets. And no one is willing to come out of inhibition. For whatever reason that we do that, we all do that. Except my wife Sheila, she doesn't do that. So, she talks fast, quick. Like, but anyway, most people will participate in something where there's a silly. When you stop and think, we're not keeping it real. When we give way to something that has a tension. Associate. I thought today in our churches, I'm so thankful for the people that actually come forward at prayer time. And I thought when we're having prayer today, I thought, what is it? Why? There's a lot of people who are longing for prayer. There's a lot of people who have needs in their life. Why do a lot of people, most people, not at an opportunity when we have church? Why do they not feel comfortable? What? Why do many people, and I'm thanking God for the people that break that barrier and they just keep it real. They just keep it real. Like, hey, I saw some of our staff praying with one another today. What are we doing? Like, none of us ever outgrow the need for prayer. Like element of just keeping it real. Like, and I got to tell you, as a church, we work hard to create the environment where people will not be stoic. And we really believe with all of our hearts that part of moving your life forward is for you to break your inhibitions. So if you ever hear me cheering you on, getting up here and saying, come on, clap, raise your hand, that is intentional and I don't apologize for it. Because you can't move your life forward being stoic and inhibited and allowing yourself to act like a mummy, which you are not. You are a breathing, living, emotional being who has very real needs in your life. And one of the needs is to interact. But the only way is if you can keep it real. So Jesus, I can tell already I'm not getting done with my message today, but that doesn't matter. I want to help you. Verse 16, let me tell you what happens in between these verses. There's a conversation. Can you give me something to drink, some water? There's a conversation about, thank you, about the whole idea that Jesus is at the well and asking her for a drink. And then she's like, you know, he says, if you knew who I was, like, you'd ask me for a drink. And she's like, you don't even have a bucket to draw water out of. So it's getting real, real quick. Like, they're just engaged and interacting. And he's like, well, you know, I have something called living water, and you would never thirst again. And so they go there in this conversation. And she says, sir, like, I'm open. Talk to me. And so verse 16, Jesus said to her, I'm sorry, verse 16, he told her, go get your husband and then come back. And she says, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you're absolutely right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, verse 18, everybody say the fact.
The fact.
Come on, say the fact.
The fact.
The fact is that you have had five husbands. It's about to get real in Samaria. You have had five husbands, and the man you're now living with is not your husband, and so what you just said is quite true. Jesus then continues his conversation with her. Now, here's what I want you to understand, is that he did not go into her relationship history to condemn her. But he went into her relationship history to help her. And what he was doing was he was beginning to help her to connect her on again, off again history with men to an unmet need that was in her. And he had to start by keeping it real. I said he had to start by keeping it real. It's as if he wants her to know it's okay to be real. And it's okay to not be okay. Don't you love that about Jesus? Hey, don't you love that about grace? Don't you love that about churches where we can gather and it's okay to not be okay? Being real is part of getting better. Jesus wasn't interested in opening this conversation about her past to leave her like she was. In fact, let me just say this, that a lot of people, one of the challenges, and honestly, one of the reasons that I haven't spoke a whole lot on authenticity, I'm gonna be real with you, is because for a long time it irritated me that people seemed to want to talk about being real who weren't defining being real very well. They had false things around. Well, I'll talk a little bit about that. But then the big thing was that there was some sort of award for being real. And you get a badge if you get real. And I never could, and so I'm talking to you today, and here's how God's helped me, is that I began to question, I began to think about, I began to question my own inner workings of why I viewed this topic like I do. And what I came up with is that what bothered me was that a lot of talk about being real was, it ended right there. It's like there was an award for being real. And that never inspired me.
Right.
But now that I understand that being real is about getting better. Oh, come on, somebody ought to be. That's a hello moment for some people. Like, in fact, it's essential to getting better. Like, now I'm all over it. If being real is about getting better, I'm all over learning how to be real. Think about it. The first thing that you do when you get lost is to get real about your current location. Am I right? Somebody say, uh-huh. Look at your neighbor and say, he's right. It's the first thing that you do, you want to get real about your current, so you pull out your GPS or whatever, and you want to get real. If you're in a mall and you get lost, you go over to that board, you do what you call red dot yourself. You are here. And you are here is important for you to go on from where you are, right, and get where you want to go. You got to know where you are in order to go where you want to go. When you're sick, you don't go to the doctor to get a pat on the back and a pep talk. You go to the doctor to get a real diagnosis. Like you, especially if you've been sick for a while. Like you go in, come on, talk to me. Don't beat around the bush. Like do whatever you got. I'm tired of being sick. Like talk to me. Let's be real. Whatever it is, like let's deal with it. And so you know that being real is part of getting better. But in our emotional relationship life, we somehow forget that sometimes. And I want to remind you of God's perspective and God's design for our relationships is that we embrace being real for the purpose of getting better. We embrace getting real for the purpose of getting better. I said we embrace getting real for the purpose of getting better. In your relationship with God, for example, being real is for you to have the ability to confess your sins to God. And it's for the purpose of saying we're wrong to one another in relationship with other people. You know, if you've wronged somebody, being real is going to that person and saying, I wronged you. I want us to be healed. Maybe we can never get back to where we were, but I understand that what I did and what I said was wrong. And that kind of getting real is so that you can get better. Like that forgiveness can begin to happen in your heart. And again, maybe you're not meant to reconcile completely with that person, but you are meant to get it off of your heart, off of your soul. Getting real is for the purpose of getting better. It's for giving and receiving wisdom. It's for the purpose of identifying blind spots. Like I started out talking about this today, we all should be hungry for real talk that can help us see what we don't see so that we can get better. Because a lot of times there are blocks, there's lids, there's things in our life, and if we don't identify it, we're going to stay right where we are. Man, this is so good. Everybody say, keep it real. Let me tell you a couple things about this. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go down. I'm going to talk for a minute about something that will maybe help some of you. Because I can tell some of you might right now, and rightly so, be wondering, well, what is being real? Well, I want to talk about being real from God's perspective for a minute. I want to tell you what it doesn't mean. What it doesn't mean. Keeping it real doesn't mean that you talk openly with anyone about your problems. Some of you are like, whew, wow, thank God. Keeping it real doesn't mean that you participate in negative conversations. Have you ever been with somebody and they go negative and then you try to like, hey, it's a good day. I like that person, actually. Or, you know, and then they're like, no, let's just keep it real. Let's just keep it real. And what they're doing is they're interpreting keeping it real as being negative or critical or judgmental. To them, that's like, keep it real. And it can be intimidating if you don't understand. That's not keeping it real. That's being cynical, critical, and negative. And one person's view of that being real is not necessarily an accurate real. That's their view of it. The most common analogy about negativity and so forth is that the glass can be half empty or half full, right? Some people see it half empty, some people see it half full. Well, here's what you got to understand about life and the reality of life is that you can be the person who sees the half empty all the time. Like, you can be the person, and that can be your real. And you can sit on that, you can talk about that, you can talk about all the problems of the world, all the problems in your neighborhood, all the problems in the city, all the problems with this group of people, all the problems with your children, all the problems with your husband, and anyone that tries to counter that, keep it real. That's not keeping it real. I promise you, for every negative thing you want to say, only because I've done this long enough, I've worked hard enough, I'm not bragging, but every negative thing that you would say, I promise you I can at least double it, and I think I could probably say 5 good things for every negative thing that you would say. Positive things that are real. Are you tracking with me? So God's perspective of keeping it real is not living sad and somber. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And while life is hard, God is good. Life is hard, God is good. So if you want to focus on life is hard and you're like, you're just going to keep it real. Well, that's a sad way for you to conclude. You are ignoring the reality that God is good. You are ignoring the reality that God is for you, not against you. He is on your side. He is with you. He sent Jesus into the world to die for your sins. Some people stop taking care of themselves in the name of keeping it real. They get sloppy. They only wear flip-flops and goofy clothes, and they're like, just take me like I am. They stop. I don't have to dress trendy. I'm just keeping it real. Well, that is not keeping it real. That's being sloppy. And your wife wishes you would do something about that. Like, wear some cologne. Because some people's interpretation is like that. I don't wear cologne. I don't know. I'm just keeping it real. And you smell like the forest. That is not... Why do we do that kind of stuff under the name of being real? That is not biblical, godly keeping it real. So we got all these goofy... I think some people are like getting irritated right now. See, one person doing that and saying, well, I'm just real. Another person would do just the opposite and saying, I'm being real. If I don't shower, I stink. I'm being real. If I don't put on some nice clothes, I am not being real. Because the real me is better than that. The real me goes to work fresh and clean, and that's the real me. So we got to quit all the goofy, petty definitions. And that's one of the big things we have to do. Like being sarcastic, saying whatever comes to mind. Why do we say, I'm just being real? No, you're tearing down the people around you. You're tearing down the people around you. You have a bad habit. And real would be for someone to get in your face and tell you to quit being so critical and so sarcastic and to understand that God's trying to bring people into your life, but they can't get past your sarcasm that you created as a self-protective mode. Some of y'all are like, I ain't coming back next week. Because we're getting real. We're getting real. And Jesus didn't go to this woman's history to embarrass her. Jesus went to her history to begin to move her life forward. I think it's really important that you understand when I say to you that choosing to be real at a deep level with the right people at the right time in the right way is extremely crucial. I want you to understand that being real with the wrong people at the wrong time, in the wrong way, doesn't move you forward. You don't get some sort of merit for that or trophy for that. In fact, you'll create more problems. But knowing that there are different levels of relationship, and let's do well with the social, interactive nature of our lives. Let's smile at strangers. Let's be friendly on the elevator. Let's break the tension. Let's be kind to everyone around us, whether we know them or not. Let's get good at that. Let's smile. I remember when I first started being on television, and I would come on and I'd do commercials. This is years and years ago in Seattle land. And I would come on and I would tell people, I'm excited. Welcome to Champion Center. And then I went and watched it, and I didn't look excited. Like, what was on my face was not what was in my heart. It was betraying me. It was betraying me. And I needed the authenticity of my heart to show up on my face. Am I helping anyone? And that's really what many of us need to redefine. Real as not being something like broken, something negative, something like down, something discouraging, something heavy. We need to get it redefined. And starting with this story of Jesus invading her relationship history, we need to redefine real, and we need to ask ourselves, God, how can I begin to see real in a positive way? In a way that gives me the courage to be more real and to hunger for more real with you and with the people. Give me the courage, God. Being real doesn't mean staying tense. Being real means breaking the tension. Being real doesn't mean sitting still when you have needs in your life and it's time to have prayer. That's not being real. That's being everything but real. There's something holding you back from being real. When it's time to worship the Lord, being real doesn't mean I stand like this and not worship the Lord. That's not real. That's your version of I just want to be real because I don't really feel. But wait a minute. Let me ask you, has God been good to you and do you know it? Has God blessed you and do you know it? Then being real means shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all ye people. That is what being real really looks like.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.